Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Hi, smart daters. Welcome back. I am so excited about my guest for today's episode, and I know you will be too, because she's going to tell us how to communicate with men so that we feel heard and understood as women, and how to balance our lives and come back to alignment so that we can give and receive love. Today's guest is Sandy Weiner. She's the founder of Last First Date. She's a dating coach. She's a relationship coach. She's an internationally known TEDx speaker. She's NLP certified. She's got a podcast. She's amazing. Welcome, Sandy Weiner. And let's just jump into this. Tell us a little bit about what you do in your date and relationship coaching practice and how we can communicate with men so that we get what we want and we're heard and we're understood, and how we can get our lives back out of whack into whack to be good daters. So we're going to talk about it all.
Into whack. I love that. Well, I'm so excited to be here with you, Bella. I really, as a dating and relationship coach, I focus on women over 40 who are dating either after divorce, or they've never been married, or they're widowed. And all of this came about after my divorce, when I realized that I was lacking in many skills when it came to relationships and dating. It was really easy to point the finger at my ex-husband, who didn't communicate well and was afraid of conflict. But I played a part, and I really took a lot of time to study where did I need to really grow. And two areas really were the most important to me. And one was communication skills, and the other was boundaries. And so a lot of my practice focuses on those two areas, which is why I'm really excited to talk today about how to understand men better, how to communicate with them, and how to get your life back in whack.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. So maybe you can open up to us and let's just dive right into about communicating with men as single, smart, successful women. Like, men are a different species, right? What does John Gray say? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, right? We're from two different planets, two different galaxies. What do you think? You know, you've walked through this path personally, and I love how what you've learned in your personal life after self-reflecting has become your work to teach us how to do the things we should. What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that we make coming out of the gate as women?
Well, there are myths, I think, that have been perpetuated through time. And I want to just bring our attention to three myths about men that women, I think, need to sort of look at with a different lens. And the first one is that men love to chase. I think this has been, it's in all the movies, it's in every romance novel. Men love to chase women, so women should be passive and just wait for men to pursue them. And while it may be true that men like to be hunters, which is something that John Gray talks about, the hunters and the gatherers, and how we're all kind of wired from back in primal time, men at this stage in life, and we're talking about as they get older and they're less ego-driven, they don't want to just do all the chasing, and they don't want women to be really passive. And so I advocate for women to make first moves in online dating, not to necessarily ask men out unless that's their jam and they want to have that kind of role, but to make the first move in an online message and let men know they want to get off messaging and get on a call and meet. Because if we don't assert what we want, we will not get what we want. And so that's myth number one: men love to chase.
I love that. I love that. And I have a quick question for you on that. Sometimes women will say to me in our date coaching practice, well, you know, if a guy doesn't chase me and show his interest, it never ends up working out if I'm doing the instigating and doing the work around that. What is your experience around that? Enlighten us.
Yeah. So there's a big difference between chasing and showing interest. Showing interest is investing in the relationship, investing in the dating of this person. Chasing is that they're doing all the hard work and women are just being passive. And so I believe we do need to be in a relationship with somebody who is investing their time, their energy, their warmth, their kindness. So it is a back and forth. I'm curious what you have to say about that, Bella.
I love that. And I think we're completely aligned on that. Show your interest, make yourself receptive, make it known that you would be a good partner. This isn't about chasing, right? Dating is not a game, right? And there's so much awful information out there, right? Never, you know, disappear for 3 days. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm like, those are your grandmother's rules. Let's throw those out of the window. So show that you would be a good partner, right? And be interested. And I know one of the things around this, you know, I get questions about all the time is, well, who should pay for the date? I said, why don't you offer to pay, right? It shows that you would potentially be a good partner. You're not there to sit on your hands and be the princess in the dating world, right? Show that you're willing to put some effort in there. I had a guy once tell me he knew he wanted to marry this woman that he was on a first date with because he opened her car door. She sat down in the car door and she leaned all the way over to manually unlock his door. And he was like, I knew at that moment, this was my person, right? Yeah. Because she wasn't just sitting there and had read bad information. Men don't want you to do any work. Don't show any interest. Just sit there and be receptive and open. It's like, no, that's a load of nonsense, right? Show your interest that you would be a good partner.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, along the same lines, I think that with paying for a date. So one of the ways that I have found works really well is to say, do you need help with that when the bill comes?
Yeah.
And so it's not let me pay for that or you want to split it, you know, which is what a lot of women do. And then they get angry that the man says, okay. I mean, I've had men that I've dated take out a calculator and go, this was yours, this was mine. And which is why coffee is a nice first meeting because you don't have any of those issues. But, right. But asking, do you need help with that? That actually activates a man's kind of what's in his DNA to protect and provide. And a man who really wants to take care of a woman will say, no, I don't need help with this. Thank you for offering, which is very different from saying, let me split this or can I help with it? You know what I mean? It's like different language.
I love that. Write that down, ladies. Can I help with that? Right. And that brings out the protect and provide that you are craving, that you want at the end of the day. So that is genius. So I asked you, I hopped in with a question before you got to myth number two. So I hand you the mic back, Sandy.
She's tracking. She's keeping track. I love it. All right. Myth number two is men won't or can't communicate their feelings. This is a huge myth. Men have feelings, women have feelings, we all have feelings, and most of us have trouble accessing them, not just men. I would say that men were not conditioned necessarily to express their feelings in the same way that women were. We grow up, we're very relational. We share how we feel with our friends and we talk about relationships with our friends. And men often talk about what they did, not how they felt. And so this is something that men will do when they feel that the relationship creates a safe space. So even on a date, creating a safe space for feelings helps feelings to be expressed. And so we have so much power in the space that we create and the conversations that we have. And one way to get men to be more open, I'll share a quick tip, is, first of all, sitting side by side or walking side by side is less confrontational than across from somebody. And that's, unfortunately, most dates are, we're sitting and we're looking straight across and we're eating together with a total stranger. And so taking a walk and being side to side or driving in a car, we used to do this with our kids. We would have these hard conversations in the car when they were imprisoned and couldn't go anywhere. But also it's less confrontational if they're sitting in the back seat. And so we want to create that safety where we're standing side by side or sitting side by side, and then asking a man, like sharing your feelings and then saying, what do you think about that? Feels less confrontational. Less confrontational than what do you feel about that?
So you're saying share your feelings first. Like, yes. I feel like I would like to know more about what you really feel. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like saying it and then softening it.
Exactly. So another little tip, I just heard you say, I feel like, and so one thing we don't, I certainly didn't realize when I was beginning this work is when we say, I feel like, it's a thought and not a feeling. So I feel like you do this. I feel like you're not listening is not my feeling. It's my thought about you. It's my judgment about you. So that's another quick tip is if feel is followed by like, it's not a feeling.
It's a thought about the feeling. It's meta.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I feel sad when I think about this. I feel confused. Right. And so I feel confused about the fact that your texting has dropped off this week. What's going on for you? What are your thoughts? What are your, you know, so we're getting into it, but we're not saying, let's talk. I need to talk to you.
Okay, great. So you can say, I feel a little hurt that I haven't heard from you this week, when usually you're really, you know, you've been contacting me on every week, you know, is, what do you think about that? Is has something changed?
Right. What's going on? Yeah. Is everything okay? What's going on with you? Is there something you want to talk about with me? But like really stating how you feel. It once happened to me on a guy I was dating for a while. He used to text me every morning these cute little poems that he would write. It was adorable. And we had had a conversation the night before about something that I expressed that he misinterpreted. So he had asked me to sleep over on a Saturday night, and I was in the middle of launching a program. And I knew I needed my full night's sleep. That was a strong need of mine that I needed to honor. And I knew if I stayed over, I would not be sleeping well. So I said, I'd love to see you and I need my sleep. So I'm going to go home. And he got really sulky and he did not text me. So I texted him and I said, I miss your morning text. Is everything okay? And he started getting into his feelings. And I said, you know what, let's not do this over text. So again, this is a woman taking initiative and redirecting how the conversation goes and saying, let's talk tonight after work. And so we had a great conversation about our needs being met and how important it is that we can both express our needs and have our needs honored and respected. And that happened early in the relationship so that we both could be safe expressing what we needed without feeling like the other person was going to take it personally or not honor and respect us.
I love that. And I love how you had boundaries and you redirected the conversation off of text live. Guys, listen to that. We get so, especially when somebody sends us a text that rattles us. Remember, most likely you're interpreting that text in maybe an anxious way because this is a conversation you just need to have in person, and redirect the conversation to have it live versus getting embroiled in a text exchange that's rapid fire. And most likely we're misinterpreting something based on the anxious or negative lenses that we have, or we're just scared, right? We never do great things when we're doing them from a place of fear. So have the live conversation. It's one of the rules at Smart Dating Academy, even with our coaches. If we feel something, pick up the phone, call each other, call a client. Let's talk through things and put things on the right track versus texting and emailing things that can be erroneously misunderstood.
So, so true. I would say if people don't take away anything else from this conversation, please take away this. No text or written word should be about expressing feelings. That it should just be about facts, and it should be about where we're going to meet and if things change. But anything that has any sense of emotion attached to it that could be misunderstood should not be written down. It should be spoken.
Yeah, 100%. So that's a great myth that you've dispelled, that men can't and won't communicate about their feelings. They've been conditioned to handle them differently than we have as women. We're more the nurturers. We're supposed to talk about things, and they're supposed to throw some dirt in it and man up and get up. But we all have the same feelings. And coaching lots of men as well, I can tell you, women think like, well, you know, guys have it so easy, right? We're the ones that are afraid of rejection. And I tell them, are you kidding? They're the ones that are expected to initiate. They're the ones that have to hear no all the time. They're probably just as afraid or more afraid of rejection as you are. So there's a lot of the grass is always greener between men and women, but know that we're all humans and we all have feelings and we all want to talk about those. But what Sandy just gave us was a great gem on how to talk about the feelings. So take us into the third myth.
So the third myth is that men are only interested in sex.
Oh, girl, say it again for the people in the back.
Men are not only interested in sex. And, you know, we have this myth that that's all they care about. Oh, he just wants me for my body. He just cares about sex. Men care about the whole you. The men who are interested in a relationship are interested in a relationship. They may go about it in a way that doesn't feel as organic as the way you might go about it. So let's say you're a woman who needs to connect emotionally first, and maybe men connect emotionally through sex. And this happens a lot in relationships. This is why marriages sometimes get into rocky areas, because the man may not be speaking to his wife about her feelings and not checking in with her, but he just wants to have sex with her and slap her on the butt and do all kinds of things that go, she's like, wait a minute, you haven't connected with me. And so we need to express how we need connection. We need to talk about what our boundaries are and our standards are around sex, and with warmth and kindness. So if you're a person who doesn't have sex before monogamy and exclusivity, you've got to be able to express that and to let a person that you're dating know that you are attracted to them, that it's not just we're putting it off for whenever I feel, right? So it's just how we express ourselves. A man who is interested in you is going to wait if there is an end date, if he knows what the rules of engagement are. But if it's this open-ended thing where I'll figure out when I want to have sex with you, that won't work.
No. And right, be able to communicate that and have a good answer for that. I don't want to have sex because I've made mistakes in the past, and I don't want to jump into something too quickly. So I like to wait until we're in a committed, exclusive relationship where we feel comfortable calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend, right? That's a very acceptable answer. People like clarity. Right.
Exactly. And I had an example from a guy I dated a long time ago. He wanted to have me over on maybe the second or third date. He was going to cook a meal for me. And I wasn't comfortable with that because I don't I didn't want to have sex with him yet. And I didn't want to even have that conversation yet. We were just getting to know each other. And so I appreciated that he invited me over. I appreciated that he wanted to cook for me. And I said to him, that hasn't worked well for me in the past, you know, coming over to a man's house before we're in a committed relationship. And so for now, I'd love to continue getting to know you in more public places. That's it. Mm.
And how did he take that?
Great.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, let's meet at this restaurant on Tuesday.
I love that. Oh, that's great. So there are some men, like Sandy said, that are only interested in sex. Ladies, that's not your man, right? And be a woman of high value and know what your standards are, and that having sex before your whole body and soul says yes, 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 should be a no, no, no for you, right? Really know what your own boundaries are, but don't think that just having sex with a man is all that he wants, or that that's going to lead you into a relationship with the wrong person. It won't. So really think about what you want and stick with that.
Absolutely. I wanted to also address that our brains are not the same, and to talk a little bit about the science of men and women and how our brains are different.
Oh, please do it. Tell us. And I know you talk about how our brains are different and how, you know, there's communication archetypes and how we process information differently. Give us the goods.
So this was fascinating to me when I first learned it. The hemispheres, the right and left hemispheres in our brain, are wired differently. And so while a man's right and left hemisphere are more separate, women's are more interconnected. And so because of our interconnections, we tend to be more multitask oriented, and men tend to be more single task oriented. And so we tend to get angry at men for not listening, but often it's because they can't even hear you. They're in the middle of an activity that they're so single task oriented around that unless you get their attention, they will not hear a word you say. And so an example of this is my daughter, who's married. When she first got married, she was running a pastry business where she was making cakes and cupcakes and cookies for people. And her husband was going to deliver them one Friday. And he said, I'll deliver them at 2, let's say. And it's almost 2 o'clock and he's not moving. He's on his phone watching like fantasy football or whatever that is. I don't even know if that's something you watch or you play or whatever, but he's completely engaged in something on his phone. And she's talking to him and he's not at all hearing her. And so I stopped her and I said, if you want your husband to listen, you need to call his name, make eye contact and then talk to him, because right now he might be saying, to you, but he's not hearing you. And it's a game changer because we stop taking it personally that he's ignoring me on purpose. He's just being such a not a nice guy and he doesn't care about me. Again, it's all the interpretation around what we make up around why men do what they do. So that's one of the things that...
Oh my God, you've just changed my world. So their hemispheres are less connected than women's.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies. Mic drop moment for me here. It makes sense. I literally say to Andy, my husband, you know, he's like from, you know, Jurassic Park. Like they have one job and it's to sit in the tree and to wait for the buffalo to come in front of the tree so they can shoot it and bring it home. Like they have this mono single focused awareness. And that's what they were wired to do. They were nurtured to do. You sit in the tree and you wait for the prey and you just sit there. Right. And if you look at men with those sort of tender eyes, like, oh, sweetheart, I know that you were meant to sit in the tree and wait for the bear to come by, but that's not what I need here. Right. So instead say, hey, Andy, it's almost 2 o'clock. I need you to go deliver the cookies and the cupcakes. Remember you said you would do that? Oh yeah. Right. It's like talking to a child, like get down to their level, look right in their eyes, hold their hands and say, do you hear me?
Yeah. I mean, it works. And so the other thing that's true about when we have these interconnections and they don't is that when, let's say you're dating a guy and you're thinking about him while you're working, while you're on your walk, when he's on his walk, he's on his walk. When he's working, he's working. And there have been TED Talks about this where there's compartments in men's brains that are only for those things. And we're thinking about all of them at once. When I was pregnant nursing, I could nurse a baby, talk on the phone and make dinner at the same time. You know, it's just like, and my husband would be talking on the phone and not hear me. And I'd be like, how could he not hear me? So it's really about how we can do all these things and we can think about all these things. And so women often take it personally when a man won't text her during his workday. But if he's super focused, he's not going to.
Wow. Because he's not interconnected, ladies. Do you hear this? It's not personal, right? The only time is if he always does text you during the day and suddenly his behavior starts to change, that could be a red flag. To your point, I missed your morning text. So, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt that they're the caveman in the tree looking to shoot the bear and they don't have interconnected hemispheres. And let's just go with that, especially in the beginning parts of dating.
Yeah. Yeah. And do express what you need early on. You know, like if you don't like texting to get to know someone, let a man know. If you want a daily phone call once you're in a relationship to say goodnight, let a man know. This would make me really happy. And a good man wants to make you happy. So using words like, you know, what would make me really happy is if you called me every night before bed. You know, all of these things. So much of anxiety is about not expressing what you want and need and expecting a man to read your mind. And ladies, men are terrible mind readers. They really are. So are we. But we, for some reason, expect them to just know. Like if they care about us, they'll just know these things. And spoiler alert, they don't.
They don't. Remember, jungle, bow, arrow, bear. They know one thing and it's the thing in front of them. So remember that. So I love that. And, you know, is that the main differential then between men and women brain-wise?
So there are five things that show up that I'd like to talk about that are really different. And these, again, are general. There are women who possess more of some of these things than men. So just keep that in mind as I talk about them. The first one is that men tend to be more direct in their communication and women tend to hint. And so we will ask for something indirectly. We don't want to look needy or that that we're asking for something too early on in the relationship. And men will be just like blunt. And so my recommendation is as a woman, if you are a hinter and if you have not been direct in the past, to really work on really identifying what it is that you really want and need and be okay with expressing it, because neediness actually is unmet needs. It's when your needs are not met, you start to get a little bit more whiny about it, maybe a little naggy about it. So direct. And this is actually one of the archetypes that I talk about in my work. And there's a quiz on my website, lastfirstdate.com, for the four communication archetypes. And the hinter is more of the, I would say, the koala, which is the passive aggressive archetype. And I can, you want me to go through the four archetypes?
I would love to. Tell us what the archetypes are. And these are for women. These archetypes, or these are male archetypes?
Men or women.
These men
are
or women.
Communication okay, archetypes. And
I
so, so the first one is the lion or the lioness, which is the direct. So the here, when we're talking about men are direct, women hint around. Like a direct man is a lion, a direct woman is a lioness. And she, so let's talk about women here. So a lioness is someone who is secure in the way she speaks. She knows what she wants and needs. She's not afraid to express it. She's also grounded in that she doesn't get triggered by everything a man does or says. And so she knows how to process her emotions. And that's the ideal. And it takes work. These are skills that can be learned. So anybody who's not there, please don't worry. This is something I teach. This is something I have courses on. And so that's the lion, lioness. And then there's the koala that I just spoke about, the passive aggressive. And something I didn't know was that the koala bear, as cute as it is, actually has a very aggressive side. And this comes out as sarcasm, as kind of hinting around things and not being direct and getting angry when somebody doesn't get what you're trying to say. Then comes the scorpion. The scorpion is the acerbic person who is
just mean,
biting. Yeah, mean, biting, very overbearing, uses like power to get control, but isn't kind in their communication. And then we have the puppy, which is the passive communicator. And the passive communicator is a person who's afraid to speak up and doesn't express their needs because usually they come from a background of family life or past relationships where their needs didn't get met and where there was a lot of yelling and screaming, and so they shut down. And so I want to just say overarching here that we all come from our backgrounds. Wherever we come from, we didn't have control over the families that we grew up in. Right. And we learn our communication skills from our families and from the relationships that we then go into. And so just like I learned how to be more of a lioness because of the work I did, anybody can really learn these skills.
Sandy, what's the difference between a koala bear and a puppy?
So the koala is passive and aggressive.
Aha. Okay. Got it.
The puppy is passive.
Okay. And then, and then the puppy just gets sad.
Yeah. They're sad because their needs are not met and they don't know how to express what they need to say. And so it's really important to, in order to be authentic and attract the people that are right for you, to learn how to express your needs and wants. And you'll find out very early on whether a person can meet those needs because you've expressed yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And expressing yourself, you know, doesn't mean that to become a lion or a lioness, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it doesn't mean that you're roaring or you're a bull in a china shop. It means you understand your needs. You can self-check in, you know what they are, but you can communicate them confidently and ultimately what I call from a place of love, which when you say it would make me really happy if you called me every night before we went to bed, that's coming from a place of love. It would make me happy if I love it when you, and when you do something from that place of love, it comes out so differently than when we do it from a place of being distraught.
So true. That's a great distinction. And I would say that's true for feedback as well. People are really afraid to give feedback to their partners or the people they're dating. And when it comes from a place of love, like I care so much about you that I want to have this honest conversation so that we can grow closer, as opposed to, I have something I need to get off my mind. You know, you've been a jerk. I can't stand you. Just like shape up or ship out. You know, it's like, we just don't have the words to be able to discuss these things, but nobody receives feedback well when it's given with that acerbic tone.
No, never. In our house, we call that's going hard on somebody. And when you go hard, your words are knives.
It's true.
Right. And true. So even with the kids, we're like, stop, you're going hard. Let's all de-escalate, go back to our corners, because you can express any feeling from a place of love, even if it's a bad feeling, where it makes me want to be a better mom to you or a better wife to you,
as opposed to
fighting back and putting my gloves on.
I have to remember that going hard. That's
going
a good one.
Hard is a big word in our house. Don't go hard on each other. It's, you know, you can forgive. I said, when you go hard on somebody, knives always cut the skin. And while the skin can heal, it will scab and the person can get harder, and that's the scar might not fade. So you've changed the course of your relationship.
That's really beautiful. So let me go through now that we've got the archetypes, if I can just talk about the other four areas that women or men are different. Is that all
right?
Yeah,
please.
So another way that we differ is that women tend to remember details and men don't as much. And do you have an example of that, Bella?
No, not at all. I've been married to a man for coming on 25 years by the time this episode goes live. Oh, no, I have no experience. Oh, my gosh. I am like the detailed person that keeps the calendar, that keeps all the, I'm like Octomom, like keeping all the plates spinning up in the air. Right. And so now I realize it's not his fault, because he doesn't have the neural connections between the two hemispheres. So I'm looking at him more from a place of love. But absolutely, we are wired to be the details people, right? Imagine if women ran the world from top to bottom. Imagine what the world would look like.
You're right. Well, we need that balance, though. We can't all be the same, right?
No. It would just be more detail-oriented now, wouldn't it?
Right. So, you know, women will get upset when a man doesn't remember the date of their first kiss, or, you know, the first day they met and what she was wearing. And most men don't remember those things. But if you remind them and make it their business, they're a lot better at remembering. So this is something important to keep in mind when you take it personally, that he hasn't remembered every detail you have. And that you're carrying, you know, all the balls in the air, that's because you've got those interconnections.
I love that. The bridges, baby. We've got the bridges. They don't have the bridges.
Yeah. So another area that we differ is that when women tend to be more present with each other and listen and have compassion, and men tend to want to fix and solve problems when you're telling them things.
Yeah.
And so in order to really work on this, so we can bridge this gap, it's important to let a man know when you're sharing something that you just want him to listen, if that's all you want. And if you do want him to problem solve with you, let him know. So this is something that has to be said before the conversation. Amen. I'd love for you to just hear me, or I have a problem I'd love to solve. Can you help me?
100%. And ladies, this is a game changer. Again, as a married woman, I can tell you, I start out my conversations like this is, I just need you to listen to me. You don't even have to take my side. I just need to vent. Or when I need your advice, I'll ask you for it. And usually, and he's great, you know, before I would say, I don't need advice. I'm not looking for a solution to the problem. And when I realize, but when you tell them again, they're monofocused, I just want to vent. I don't need you to solve the problem. They can go into listening mode. But as soon as you ask a man, as soon as you start talking, they get into the protect, provide, and they want to fix and solve. And it's not coming from a bad place. It's not because they see you as incompetent. They see you as, oh my gosh, you're talking to me about a problem. That means you need my help. And it comes from a place. And again, if you look at them, change the lens, they're coming from a place of love when they're trying to give you advice and to help you. That's the way they're wired, but they can't read your mind. Tell them this is a vent or this is a solve. Give them that direction beforehand. It makes a world of difference in how you feel.
It's so true. And I would say this is true of anyone who tends to give unsolicited advice to you. I remember just saying to my mom, who loves to fix and often nothing's broken, and I know that she's doing it out of love. And I'll say, I really appreciate that you care and that you want to help. Can I tell you what would help me more? And then, so if I haven't set it up as I just need to vent, but start with appreciation. And this is true of any relationship, you know, appreciation before and after. The appreciation sandwich is really, really helpful in getting any of your needs met.
Oh, the appreciation sandwich. Kind of detail that for us here.
Yeah. So starting with appreciation, if you ever have a tough conversation or you're asking for a favor, you want somebody's attention, you start with appreciation. I really appreciate that you're taking the time. I really appreciate that you're here with me, that you're open to this conversation. And then you stick in the middle, the part that you have a request or you want to talk about something hard. And at the end, I really appreciate that you took this time with me. Thank you so much for listening or for contributing or whatever it is.
I love how you said that to your mom. That's so beautiful, mm-hmm. right? Because as moms, you're a mom, I'm a mom. We know that when we're in daughter mode, you're like, okay, nothing's broken. And yet we turn around and we do the same things to our kids constantly because we're mama bears, right? So it's great to say that I know you're coming from a place of love and nobody loves me like you do. And I'm so grateful for that. But what would help me more right now is if you would just hear my vent on this.
Yeah.
And be my safe place to receive that.
Exactly. And with our kids, so I learned to tell my kids, I have one child who would call me all the time and just vent. And I now start conversations with, are you calling to vent or are you looking to solve the problem? Because if you're calling to vent, I have about a minute and a half for you. And right if you're now. Calling to solve the problem, I am happy to spend as much time as you need because these are usually things that repeat over and over. And so just knowing your boundaries, knowing how you want conversations to go, yeah. you can set them up for success and letting somebody know, I love you. I don't want to keep hearing the same story. You can vent for a minute and then let's talk about problem solving if you're ready. If not, have a good day. I love you. Bye.
That's perfect. And is that, you know, and I know one of the things that you and I were talking about is, you know, what can we as women say or do differently so that a man can hear us and respect our needs and meet them? And I love what you just said. I mean, so many things, they're not mind readers. Tell them, I'm just looking to vent. I want you to solve. Is there any other advice that you have for us on that topic?
So, there are two more things in this conversation that I think will kind of dovetail into that. And the fact that men tend to bottom line and women tend to speak in stories, I think is a really important game changer too. So if a man is getting to the point and he's just getting to the main facts and women will tell a story that is meandering and we think everything's connected. So when we say we went to the store, we are also going to talk about what we bought there. And then we met our friend Nancy and she just went through a breakup and his brain is like going insane. Like where I don't know what to track anymore. Right. So really working on how we tell stories and letting a man know what the important part is to track, those kinds of things will help the connection between men and women too.
That's great. That right. It's like, okay, I meandered a little bit. That's not relevant. But what you do need to know is blah, blah, blah. And what's interesting, and you know, maybe if you're listening to this, you're kind of thinking about this like I am, like, wow, sometimes I think like a man and I am that person, like, come on, bottom line it, get to your point, you know, because sometimes my husband is like, I always say, like, it's a funny phrase in our house. Don't once upon a time me, like get to your thesis first and then provide details upon request. So these are conversations that truly happen in the Gandhi Anacone household. Like this is not, he's like, oh, I'm once upon a time in you. I'm like, kind of like, tell me the net net. And then we will go back into the details. So you guys might be in relationships where your role in this is flipped. And it doesn't mean that you're always the masculine person and he's always the feminine person, but there are times, but then there are days where I will want to tell the long story of interconnectedness. And I'm like, but wait, there's a reason I'm telling you the whole story, right? And la, 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 la. But then it's okay to flip into that mode as well. So I know I can flip into both sides pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, I love the way you deal with it. And my son actually said the same thing to me. He said, if you tell me the point first, that helps because I'm not sure where you're going with it unless you do that. And so starting with the main point is really helpful. And just saying that this is the main point. And then can I tell you some details? Also, just checking in and saying, can I share more about this with you? I've had some thoughts about, or I listened to a great podcast. Can I share with you what they were talking about? And they may not be ready to hear it at that time. They might say, well, now's not a great time. Can we talk about it later? It's just the having that check-in and that respect is so crucial.
100%. And what I found is when I ask, like, is this a good time or can I give you my thoughts on that? Can I give you some feedback that when you ask that question before you start fire hosing somebody with, you know, your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings, when you ask, do I have permission? Can I tell you something? And when someone says yes, when they have given you permission, they hear you differently.
Exactly. Exactly. I told this to my daughter the other day when she called me and she tends to start just telling me about her day. And I said, and then at the end, sort of as an afterthought, she'll say, and how are you, Mom? And I said, she goes, well, it feels weird because I'm calling you. Why should I check in with you first? And I said, because you're calling me to ask me for a favor, which is listen to my day, you know? And so even just checking in with, is this a good time to talk, Mom?
Yeah.
Is so helpful. And so in any relationship, that check-in is going to have somebody focus and either be available for the conversation or not. And if they're not, then they get to tell you when is a better time.
And remember, this all harks back to what Sandy is teaching you here, how to get your needs met.
Yes. So the last tip I want to share is that women tend to talk things out when they are upset and they want to get some clarity. And men, a lot of times they need to retreat to their man cave, whatever that looks like, in order to process. And so we often will take that personally as well, where we want to just talk it out in the moment and they need a little bit more time to process. So let a man process. You know, I just think that it's so important for men to have their own time, for them to have time to go talk to their friends. I once had a guy on my podcast who was part of a men's group. And on his way home from work, in order not to bring all the stress of work into his home, he would talk it out with his friends so that he would come into the house without all of that, carrying all that stuff. Wow. And so, however we need to handle our stuff, don't just talk at somebody who hasn't yet had time to process.
100%. There are times doing the work that I do, which is coaching people all day long, and I'm actively listening and processing and giving advice. There are times at 6 o'clock where I'm like, I don't want anybody to talk to me right now. Guys, I need 30 minutes of silence, or I'm going to go for a run and I'll be back in an hour because I need to go hear some hip hop and run it out. And I'm going to be a different human being when I come back. Right. So making sure that you also know thyself and how you're going to be the better partner and asking for that and doing that versus having somebody read your mind. They don't know what you've had all day long. And you have to be the responsible grown-up, right, with yourself and say, okay, I am not feeling like I'm going to be good for anybody right about now. And go take care of yourself first so that you can be a good human being to the people that love you.
I absolutely love that you shared that because many of us don't even know what we need. We expect our partners to fulfill us, to be there, to help us process everything, to help us with our anxiety, to help us with every single thing. And, or we keep it all to ourselves, and neither one of those is a good thing. And so when we know ourselves, and that brings us to the, when your life is out of whack conversation, when we get our life back in balance, we know how to take care of our needs. We know when we need to have some rest and relaxation. We know when there's not enough fun in our lives or when our work is out of whack. And so we pay more attention to getting that in order. When we know those things, we can take care of ourselves. And when we take care of ourselves, we can provide so much more love and attention to the people in our lives.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, this is a great segue that I want to hit because I think it's so important, especially for us women that are spinning lots of plates. You know, maybe you have a job that you love, but it takes a lot out of you. Maybe you have a job and you've got a side hustle. Maybe you're at home taking care of one or two or three people, or you've got teenagers and aging parents. But what happens to so many of us, I don't know that if I surveyed the women in my life, if I said to somebody, how's your balance in your life? Everybody would just start to laugh, right? Because we all feel like there's so much. And for those that are single, Sandy, you know, and that are out there dating and they want to find lasting love, how can they better maintain the balance in their lives?
Yeah, so I think alignment may be a better word than balance. I think when we are aligned with our truth, with what makes us happy, we're less reactive, we're less stressed, we eat better, we sleep better. So when we are out of alignment, because finding perfect balance is a myth again. You know, there's always going to be an area that we are paying more attention to than others, but it's about being attuned. And one of the first exercises I do with a client, we have two things that we do. One is called the Wheel of Life, where we look at the eight areas of life that are really the key areas and see what is out of whack. And really pay some attention to those areas before even starting to date. And so the areas, and I may not get them all right, I'll try to get them. It's your spiritual life, which can be, you know, many different categories, your own personal growth. Are you like learning and growing? Your fitness and health, your relationships. So I separate out family and friends is one category. And the other one is your significant other, romance, your work life, your money situation. And so it's not about like, I have to have the perfect work or the perfect life. It's what are the values within those areas that you're not living up to, your own values. And so there are values lists on the internet that you can look at and look at what are the values that you honor most that you sometimes don't pay attention to. When you're not honoring your core values, you're out of alignment. And so for a lot of people who are in the wrong relationships, for example, they're not honoring the things that matter most to them. Yeah. Like communication might be, for me, is a strong value. I need to be communicating clearly and calmly with people. And if I find that I'm keeping conversations to myself a lot or being really reactive when I do speak to people, I know I need to pay more attention to that value. So those are just some of the areas where we can tell if we're out of alignment. And then let's say you scored a 5 on fun. We all need to have some fun in our lives on a daily basis. And maybe fun for you is going on a vacation once a year or not even that. And you don't laugh enough and you're not watching fun things on TV or hanging out with people who make you happy or doing something playful and crazy and silly. So it's about like what can make it an 8 or a 9 instead of a 5, then commit to doing that one thing.
And the promises we keep to ourselves are the most important, right? If you wouldn't break a promise to someone important in your life, do not break that promise to yourself.
Exactly.
To get from that 5 to an 8, whatever that is. And tell us, you know, you've got 6 ways to restore balance to our lives and something quick and easy that we can do every day.
So the first thing you can do that's super easy is to slow down and practice doing one thing at a time. And so for all you women who are interconnected and doing a million things, we really don't do things well when we're doing 10 at once. And so just focusing, slowing down, doing one thing, then doing the next thing can be super helpful in feeling more in alignment and more balanced. Another thing is to take hourly breaks. If you are working in front of a computer, especially, stretch and walk around. The pandemic has had so many people working at home. I've always worked in front of a computer and have done Zoom sessions from the time Zoom was invented. And I know that for me, if I just stay in front of the computer, I can get into such a fixed mode that my eyes start to get bleary and my back starts to hurt. So drinking water, taking breaks every hour, just stick to taking care of yourself in that way. The third thing is to learn to say no to whatever doesn't align with you and light you up, which is all about setting boundaries. We've talked about boundaries several times today, but not doing the auto yes. You know, somebody asks you for a favor, or can I pick your brain, or can I have a meeting with you? Or can I be on your podcast? Or do you want to be on my summit or my podcast? Like, not everything is in alignment. You know, yeah. I said no to somebody this morning who wanted to be on my podcast because it's not in alignment with my mission and my message. It took me a long time to be able to say no with kindness and grace. And one way to do that is, you know, thank you for thinking of me. That's not going to work. But I wish you the best. You know, just a simple no without being mean. Do you want me to keep going?
You know, I was going to say, if it's, this is a quick tip around that. If you are an automatic yes person, but then you're yes and you're resentful because it wasn't really a yes, ask yourself this question every day. Is it a yes, 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 full body, full soul? Yes, yes, yes. If not, it's a no. Okay. It makes it really easy. And I have started to apply this filter to my own life in the last 2 weeks. And it's made a lot of things really clear as to how many things as a pleaser I will say yes to. Like, sure. Okay. Why not? No, no more why nots. Unless it is a yes, yes, yes. It is a thank you so much. I'm not able to do that. Right.
That.
And that's it. And so think about a full body yes, yes, yes. And if not, it's a no. Practice, be good to yourself, right? And that's how you start to get happier, feel better. If you're only doing yes, yes, yes things, what kind of energy are you putting out there? How much more exciting and interesting are you going to be when you're on a date, right? And you can have this conversation with your date. Like, what are your yes, yes, yes things versus no's, right? So look at your life as a total must be a yes, 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 as many things as possible. There are certain things that aren't going to be that way. If your boss asks you to do something and it's not a yes, 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 that doesn't mean it's a no, no, no. So be smart about those decisions, but you know the ones I'm talking about. So, So I really, really love that. Gosh, Sandy, you are, you know, I feel like a better human for having learned these tips. And I hope that you, dear listener, have taken so many things from this, whether you're a man or a woman. And what I would like to do, if this is possible, is Sandy, if you could, you know, even gift, or if you'd be willing to share with us on our site your quiz. I love that. And we can put it in our show notes and people can take the quiz and see where they are. And then you can always reach out to Sandy to become the lioness that you are.
Yeah, it's actually available on my website. If you go to lastfirstdate.com, there's a tab on the menu bar for it. And there's also a pop-up that pops up on every page that will lead you to the quiz. And yeah, I would love for more people to take it. Give me feedback. Let me know how accurate it feels to you. And we all want to be the lion or the lioness and be more direct, be boundaried, communicate clearly and kindly. But first, you have to know thyself, as we've said many times today. Get your life in order. Know what it is to take care of you so that you can be present and open with other people. And you can show up more authentically, which will draw you to your last first date.
Thank you so much for being here today. We love you. We'll certainly have you back again on the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.